welcome along to this week's assist show, brought to you as ever in association with freesupertips.com, your best place for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm joined this week by James Milton and Dan Charles to run through their tips and get their thoughts on the weekend's action ahead. And don't forget, of course, as ever, you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel, as Ian Johnson did last week, who admitted it was going to be a weekend of torment for him. He's a Derby fan. His son Alex supports Hull. And along with Wrexham, of course, they were battling for that final playoff place. And it was his son Alex who had the bragging rights, because Hull in the end made it through to the playoffs while they'll face Millwall. And Andy Turner on that theme has asked that, can we have Dan's thoughts on the EFL playoffs, which we will, Andy, have a little bit later in the show. So something to look forward to in terms of the EFL section. But we're going to kick off straight away, as ever, with the Premier League games of the weekend. And we're going to start off with that huge match at the London Stadium. West Ham against Arsenal. 17-4 West Ham here. It's 8-13 Arsenal, fresh from their victory in the Champions League semi-final in midweek. And 31-10 the draw. Before we look at the best bets, Dan, we'll start with you first. I mean, how much of a boost for Arsenal's confidence will be that win over Atletico?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, any, you know, any time you reach a Champions League final, it's just a huge deal. And I think it's handy for them as well, though, that after the emotion and the physical exertions of the night, that this game takes place on a Sunday. So they've got a nice few days as well to just come down again after that and get refocused. Because obviously the Premier League now, they couldn't have had a better week, could they, with Man City dropping points at the start of the week and getting to the Champions League final. So probably as things stand, it's Arsenal's best week of the season. They'll obviously be looking to finish it off, you know, by beating West Ham. But won't be an easy game. I mean, I'll talk a bit more about the game later, but the West Ham, you know, 9 games unbeaten at home in all competitions, so not going to be an easy one.
Yeah, Mills, I mean, Arsenal had that wobble, and it does look like, you know, they've reinvigorated themselves, and they've kind of got that little bit of extra energy back. Are we at the stage now where we feel that little wobble that they had is behind them, or is there still a few question marks there?
I think the question marks are probably away from home, Warren. You know, they have responded well to that defeat at City, which, you know, felt like a real hammer blow, didn't it? I mean, you know, it's just changed so quickly, hasn't it? You know, City in the ascendancy, and now suddenly Arsenal having taken advantage of City not really being in league action, you know, to go 6 points clear again. And then, you know, we mentioned the boost of beating Atletico and getting into the Champions League final. But, you know, Monday's result at Everton was another huge positive for Arsenal, you know, despite the fact that City got that late goal to draw 3-3. But, yeah, that's put a real spring in the step for Arsenal. But yeah, away from home, I think there are still question marks. You know, they defended well in those home games against Newcastle and Fulham and Atletico. And just looking at a bet in this one, actually, I think both teams to score is solid. I think, you know, as Dan says, Tuesday to Sunday is a decent turnaround for Arsenal. But, you know, there will be changes to the starting lineup. And, you know, it was a mentally and physically draining occasion at the second leg against Atletico. And you know, as we said, West Ham scrapping for survival. You know, last weekend's results were really tough for them, with Tottenham winning. But looking at them at home, you know, scoring plenty of goals. Both teams have scored in 4 of their last 5 home games. And the exception was a 4-0 rout of Wolves. So, yeah, I think Arsenal will have to be wary of West Ham in this one.
Yeah, Dan, I don't think many people probably expected the result at Brentford last week, considering West Ham's recent turnaround in form. And that's going to be a big setback for them to try and deal with now.
Yeah, I didn't. I saw them getting something at Brentford. Maybe, you know, we're underestimating Brentford a little bit there. You know, they've been strong all season and still powering on, pushing to get into them European spots. But from West Ham's point of view, yeah, it's a tough weekend for them. And then to have Arsenal next as well. I mean, people are going to probably look at this and say West Ham need to win, because if they don't win, then they're still going to be behind Spurs, and then Spurs will be going into the home game against Leeds with a chance to get pulled further clear. But sometimes as well, you the value of a point at this stage, you can't just look at it on a one weekend scenario. There's still three games to go for both teams. And if West Ham were to nick a point and then win the next two, 7 points, that would make give Spurs, you know, plenty of work to do. From the other side of the coin, from Arsenal's point of view, while they're going to be thinking, well, we need to win to keep it completely in our own hands, there's also got a situation, because of City getting that late goal, they're going to be thinking as well, if the scores are level, if we push for a winner and lose, the point is still valuable for Arsenal as well, because it still means it's a goal difference race rather than it being completely in City's hands. So it's a tricky one here. People are going to be saying, oh, both teams need to push for the win, but the point as well could be valuable for both. Now, that feeds into my tipper. I think the match result prices, as I said earlier, are about right. Arsenal, odds on, but they have dropped points in 8 of their 17 Premier League away games. I can just see a tight game. Arsenal clearly the better side, but West Ham are tough to beat at home. I mean, that 9-game unbeaten run, they've got 1-1 draws against Man United and Man City. I can imagine a similarly tight game here. I'm going to go with unders on the goals, which is odds against, under 2.5 goals.
And Milts, just before we leave this game and head through the other fixtures, just a quick word on West Ham's chances of survival now, because, you know, again, it's been to-ing and fro-ing one way and another in terms of their position in the Premier League this season. What's your thoughts at the minute? Are they going to go down, do you think?
I mean, it is going to be fine margins, isn't it? But, you know, they've been fairly unfortunate. As Dan says, they've, you know, their home record has been decent in recent weeks. But it's just that the teams who you know, could have been down there scrapping, you know, you look at the way Forest and Leeds have played in recently, you know, really swaggered clear of trouble. And now Tottenham winning back-to-back games as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe West Ham are unfortunate, but they're in a high caliber survival scrap. And yeah, it's not looking good for them at the moment.
Okay, 4:30 on Sunday for West Ham against Arsenal. And Manchester City will be, I'm sure, sat around the TV watching that game. Having played on Saturday evening, it's the 5:30 kickoff at the Etihad for City against Brentford. The home side 4-11 to claim the victory here. It's 11-2 Brentford and 19-4 the draw. You would expect City to turn it on a bit here, Milts, after what happened at Everton. And as we mentioned about home form, of course, with West Ham, City obviously dominant at home as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, their only home defeat came in their first game at the Etihad this season against Tottenham, which must seem a long time ago for Tottenham fans particularly. But we spoke earlier about Brentford. You know, they're still kind of exceeding expectations. You know, you think back to the start of the season, it was doom and gloom. Keith Andrews was this rookie manager. You know, they'd sold key players over the summer. Absolutely incredible that they're still going strong in the pursuit of European football now, not appearing to run out of steam at all. So I think it is a potentially tricky one for City. You know, their defence have been so impressive in recent weeks, and then that was the area that let them down at Everton. I like the look of City to win and both teams to score in this one. Just think Brentford, yeah, playing with real confidence, and City obviously beat Arsenal 2-1 in that huge game, then beat Southampton by the same scoreline in the FA Cup semi-final. Cracks appearing at the back at Everton on Monday. So I think Brentford can get on the score sheet, but I do expect, you know, as you mentioned, City so formidable on their own patch. And I think they should get the win to apply a bit more pressure on Arsenal.
Strange old atmosphere, Dan, at the Hill Dickinson Stadium the other day, because obviously Everton frustrated not to win. City, though, almost felt like they'd maybe thrown it away. But that you've already alluded to, that late goal from Doku could yet prove crucial.
Could be a big point for them, but only if they win their remaining games. And I wouldn't be completely sure that will happen. Even this one, I think at the odds, I mean, I thought they were too short, said on last week's show, to win at Everton. I think this is another tricky game. Brentford, you know, got so much to play for. You could argue these games at the end of this season are among the biggest games in their club's history, given where they've come from. And they've got big threats to a team that's going to be playing, you know, high up the pitch like City, and vulnerable to the counter attack. You've got Thiago, Ouattara, they've got big counter attacking threats. You've got the ever-present set-piece threats with the long throws coming in from Keyote. And I just think that they're too short, really. We saw the vulnerability, you know, the three goals conceded in quick succession against Everton. Even in the Burnley game, I thought there was quite a bit of vulnerability there. Burnley were causing them problems on the break. So if Burnley can do that, Brentford certainly can. And I just think that the draw is overpriced here. If City are a goal up with you know, going into the last 20 minutes, I wouldn't be putting my house on them hanging on, staying in front and hanging on. So I'll go with a draw, I think, as a value bet.
Okay, well, City against Brentford is Saturday's late game. The early game is at 12:30 at Anfield as Liverpool take on Chelsea. Both of these two teams, of course, still battling to try and claim a place in next season's Champions League. Liverpool 5-6 to win this game. Chelsea 29-10 and the draw 3-1. And the big story really going into this, Dan, at the moment is Chelsea's form. I mean, they were really poor against Brighton recently. In between, of course, they then got to the FA Cup final. But then just as you thought maybe a caretaker manager has tweaked a couple of things and things might improve, they were torn apart at times by Nottingham Forest at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one to call this. I think it may help Chelsea to be playing away from home. I think it's got quite toxic at home. A lot of people not happy with the ownership and the way they're going about things. They weren't helped with a few injuries as well. A lot of their threats were kind of taken away in wide areas. Estevao out, Garnacho, Neto had to start with Derry, didn't they? Then they brought Delap on, but they didn't really have the sort of width that they normally play with. So, I mean, a lot could depend on whether Garnacho and Neto are fit for this game. Apparently, they're not serious injuries, the two of them. So, if either of them or maybe both are available, it changes the outlook of Chelsea's attack. And like I say, away from home, they've still got the players to be a very dangerous side. Cole Palmer, João Pedro, you add to the potential wingers coming back in. And Liverpool, you know, odds on, and you've got no Ekateke, no Salah. Isak looks like he could be out as well. There's a hell of a lot of attacking talent there taken out of the side, and they had a demoralising defeat against Manchester United last weekend. You know, I'm not totally convinced by them at odds on, so it's not an easy one. But I'd rather be laying Liverpool than backing them, so I'll go Chelsea or draw double chance.
Yeah, Milton. I mean, as Dan sort of said, there two teams who confidence are pretty much at a low ebb at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure I'd be swerving Liverpool at odds on, but you know, it's more a kind of anti-Chelsea bet than pro-Liverpool. You're right. I mean, Liverpool have been disappointing all season. You know, lost at Old Trafford. They have won their previous three league games. Chelsea, though, just looking in disarray, don't they? I'm going to be swerving the match market in this. I like the look of Cody Gakpo to score first. You know, just looking at Chelsea's attacking output in recent weeks, you know, they've lost their last six league games, only scored once in that time. So you want to be focusing on the Liverpool players, really, I think, in the first goal scorer betting. And Dan mentioned all the star names who could be missing for Liverpool. So, you know, I think Gakpo can step up. He scored at Old Trafford last weekend. He scored in the reverse fixture against Chelsea when Liverpool lost 2-1. You know, firing in plenty of shots as well. So he looks a decent price, but yeah, it's a really awkward game to pick a winner. You know, Liverpool shade of odds on. I think I'd probably be siding with them, but mainly just because Chelsea, you know, those last two league performances, the 3-0 at Brighton where they didn't manage a shot on target, and then that home defeat to Nottingham Forest, who made I think eight changes from their Europa League semi-final. You know, really, really shocking performances. And Anfield is not going to be an easy place to turn it around.
Yeah, I think Dan's point about looking out for the team news is certainly one to consider for Saturday's early kickoff. Let's head to Monday now and an 8 p.m. game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium as Spurs continue their battle to avoid the drop. They play host to Leeds with Tottenham 4-5 here to take the 3 points. Leeds 14-5 and the draw is 16-5. Certainly some green shoots, if not more than that, Milt, under Roberto De Zerbi for Tottenham. Still, though, the big question mark hangs over their home form going into this.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, the two wins have come away from home at Wolves, and then Villa are obviously massively distracted by the Europa League. And yeah, I think, you know, I'm not in a rush to back Tottenham at odds on here. You know, it looks a bit of a free hit for Leeds, doesn't it? They're in a fantastic position, 7 points clear of the relegation zone at the start of the weekend, scoring plenty of goals. I'm going to go for both teams to score in this one. You know, Spurs have to go on the offensive. But Leeds have shown in recent weeks, you know, not just at Elland Road, where they've been good all season, but, you know, they won 2-1 at Manchester United, had a 2-2 draw at Bournemouth, who are in great form. So I think they can definitely cause problems for Tottenham's defence. And, you know, as we've been saying all season long, you know, home advantage just doesn't seem to exist for Tottenham. You know, two of their 9 league wins this season have come at home. And yeah, you know, despite those two victories, which obviously have dragged them out of the relegation zone, it's still going to be a pretty tense atmosphere, I'd imagine. So, yeah, both teams to score in this one. I think it's going to be a fascinating watch, maybe a pretty tense one if you're a Tottenham fan.
Dan's shaking his head. He'll be watching from behind the sofa, I think, on Monday night. Dan, what seems to happen every week on the assist as we run through the injury problems with Tottenham? I mean, is there any sign of any players returning for the certainly for the game on Monday?
No, I think Madison is training, you know, more and more now, so there's a possibility he could be used off the bench. Certainly, yeah, fascinating would be one of the last words I would have used from my point of view to describe this game. Scary, I think, would be the one I would use at this stage. I do feel that Spurs are more likely to win the game. And the prices, though, I mean, to suddenly be odds on to beat Leeds at home, that's more than taking into account, you know, the turnaround in form, which has happened. They are playing better. The Brighton game at home, although it was 2-2, and that was against an informed team, they played very well in that game at home. Wolves, a bit more of a gritty win, but probably understandable that they hadn't won in such a long time. Then they played better again at Villa. I get it that Villa had a lot of players, rested a lot of players and weren't really at it, but Spurs were at it. The midfield of Polina and Bentancur is working really well. Gallagher ahead of it. There is a balance to the team and energy, and they're starting to play now. They're certainly playing as well now for the last few games consistently as at any stage of the season. So they're in a much better place. But at those odds, I'm going to go with the same bet as James. I think there'll be goals. Leeds can play with freedom. They're pretty much there now in terms of safety. Had an excellent season. They're not going to be easy team to put away, but they'll go play with freedom. I expect Leeds to score, but I certainly expect Spurs to score as well. Both teams to score for me.
Well, the other team who are not yet sure, you'd have to say, of their Premier League status are Nottingham Forest, although they're on a heck of a run at the moment. And they play host to Newcastle on Sunday at 2:00. Forest 8-5 here to claim the 3 points. It's 8-5 Newcastle, and the draw is 13-5. To give big credit, Dan, to Vito Pereira, the way that Forest have handled the last few weeks, you'd have to say, particularly away from home, with some impressive wins at Chelsea and Sunderland. Are they almost there for you now in terms of safety?
I think they're pretty much there now, yeah. I mean, obviously, at this stage of the season, there's always the caveat that if there's so few games to go, if West Ham do pull off an amazing result against Arsenal, then and once you get to the final two games and it's not done, then anything can happen, I suppose. But no, I think they'll be absolutely fine. All of their focus this week is going to be, you know, on the Europa League semi-final. We're talking, obviously, before that takes place. What's incredible with Forest is they're doing this. I'm looking at their injury list and they've got about 10 players at the moment either injured or doubtful as well, and yet they're still making all these changes, and it just shows the strength of the squad to go at Chelsea and do what they've done. And Gibbs White, obviously, you know, went off injured in that game. We're not sure how fit he's going to be for the Europa semi-final or then the weekend. And then whatever happens, you would think if Forest win, they're going to make changes. If they lose, they're going to be kind of demoralised. Maybe they'll make less changes, but they're going to be demoralised at missing out on the final. So either way, I think they're a team worth opposing in this game. Newcastle got a good win last week. They went into the game under pressure, but got a good win against Brighton. Eddie Howe, you feel that the team is kind of playing for his job at the moment. They need a strong finish to keep him there. I do think the players are still with him. They look better now that they've got Tonali and Bruno fully fit. The midfield's functioning better, and I just think they're a bit overpriced to go with Newcastle to win.
Well, there's a bit of a danger here, as we've said a few times in the last few weeks, Milt, that you come up against a team that, in theory, like Newcastle, haven't really got anything to play for. They can go into it fresh off the back of that win last week. Is that a danger for Forest?
Yeah, a little bit, I think. I mean, you know, Newcastle, I think certainly the players and the manager do have, you know, they kind of owe the fans a decent end to the season and obviously need much needed victory last weekend. Just looking at their results before then, you know, they'd lost four in a row, all by a one-goal margin, you know, conceded late goals against Sunderland, Crystal Palace and Bournemouth, and then pretty competitive in that 1-0 defeat at Arsenal. So it was kind of, they weren't quite getting the rub of the green there. Having said that, yeah, I think Eddie Howe remains under pressure. You know, his long-term prospects don't look particularly good. I like the look of the draw in this one. I think, yeah, Dan's made a great case for opposing Forest. I just think Newcastle away from home don't fill me with great confidence. And as we saw, you know, Forest made all those changes at Chelsea and were really impressive. And you know, I think their league performances recently have been superb. So I don't see them losing the game. But yeah, I think the draw looks the standout bet for me.
Okay, five more games still to come. Before that, though, a heads up to look out for May's free bet offers across racingpost.com. Also, make sure that you check out the Racing Post Recommend section. That's our bookmaker advice service that also provides betting strategies to follow. The first of the second half of Premier League games takes place at Craven Cottage on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Fulham against Bournemouth wouldn't ordinarily, you would suggest, possibly be this high up the list normally, but both of these two teams, of course, still very much in the battle for European places. As far as the prices are concerned, Fulham 7-4 here to claim the win. It's 7-5 Bournemouth, and the draw is 13-5. What a way for Andoni Iraola to go out, Milt, if he can secure European football for Bournemouth.
Yeah, it's not a bad way to kind of end his reign and you know, ensure a smooth transition to next season under Marco Rose. I mean, yeah, Iraola's stock just keeps soaring, doesn't it? And yeah, unbeaten in 15 league matches, up to sixth in the table, and playing some terrific football. Yeah, having said that, you know, you look at Fulham's home record, they've won 10 out of 17 at Craven Cottage. I'm not quite sure how they've been that good, really. And I'm not mad about them this weekend. What the bet that stands out for me, actually, bookmakers seem to be expecting a really open game, but I like the look of one or both teams not to score, which is a winning bet in seven of Fulham's last eight matches. You know, they beat Aston Villa 1-0 in their last home game. Really, really scrappy game. Had a 0-0 draw at Brentford and then lost 3-0 at Arsenal. Either side of that, barely created a chance in either of those games. And Bournemouth, you know, we've seen them involved in some really high scoring games. They've also had 5 0-0 draws this season. I think this could be one of those games where actually defences dominate, and yeah, it could be a lot tighter than the betting suggests.
We seem to have spoken all season, Dan, about Fulham's lack of firepower up front. It seems to be sort of being highlighted at the moment in recent weeks.
Yeah, but they're still having a good season. You look at them at an 11th place, but if they win this game, they're only 4 points below Bournemouth. They're going to be looking at the fact that 7th place Brentford are going to Manchester City. Mm. And if they win, they're probably, unless Brentford go and win at City, they're probably going to be 2 points outside of the top six with two games to go. So there's a massive incentive for Fulham to try and win this game. And as James has mentioned, they are very strong at home. And what they do is they're a very well-coached, well-organised side. And often what that means is, certainly when they play at home, the away teams, they very rarely play free-flowing. Fulham contain them very well and often get the right side of these tight games. And given that, you know, how well organised they are on their home record, Bournemouth are more free-flowing and kind of get a lot more positive column inches, don't they? But and they're on a fantastic run, as we know. But I just think there's not a great deal of difference. The league table will tell you that between the effectiveness of these sides. We know Fulham are far better at home than they are away. So at the odds, I mean, around 7-4 to win, that's big enough for me, Fulham to win.
Okay, he's sticking with the Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs next as well, because we're heading to the Stadium of Light for Sunderland against Manchester United. Sunderland 29-10 to win this game. United 17-20, and the draw is 11-4. Manchester United have been some strange old performances, I think, over the last couple of weeks. Dan, last week, first half, by far the better team against Liverpool. Second half dropped off for a while. I don't know if you could put that down to being two goals up or not, but they head to a Sunderland team who, again, sort of mixed performances over the last few weeks. How do you call this one?
I think, you know, what's happening with them is that they're winning games with based on their individual quality going forward. I mean, when I was watching the Brentford game, again, Brentford were, you know, well in that game, but again, they come up with, you know, some quality moments, get the result, and it's not a, you know, a coincidence that over a long period of time now, you know, since Carrick's gone in there, they're defending better, and therefore they're attacking players when they get the right moments. More often than not, they're making the right decisions, and they're killing the games off. So I think this is a good time for them to play Sunderland as well. Sunderland, we've lots of times this season we've gone and said, well, Sunderland kind of done now, and then they suddenly pull a result out of the bag, don't they? But right now, I do think that they are kind of finally running out of steam. 1 point from the last three games. Ballard suspended after his red card last weekend. He's a key player for them. And I just think that at this point, they're there for the taking. And Man United, the run they're on, three wins in a row, shade of odds on. I think they'll get another win.
Some reports this week, Milts, after United sealed Champions League football, that Michael Carrick's already been offered the job on a permanent basis. Is that a good move for you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think he could have done much more, really. You know, he has clearly reinvigorated them, and, you know, what is it, 10 wins in 14. I would say, I think, you know, a lot of those victories, they seem to ride their luck. And I think Dan's spot on that it is just, you know, individual players playing with confidence, having had a miserable time under Ruben Amorim. So I think it is still a difficult decision for United. And, you know, I don't think they should rush into it. But, you know, in this game, I do think they're going to outclass Sunderland. You know, we talked about that individual attacking quality that United have. And Sunderland, you know, for all their endeavours, and, you know, have had a really good season when you look at the anti-post relegation betting, for example. You know, they just don't have that same kind of quality. I like the look of Manchester United to be leading at half-time and full-time. You know, Sunderland have been so strong at the Stadium of Light for the first half of the season, and they were 4-0 down at half-time in that drubbing by Forest in their last home game. United, as we said, made a really fast start to the game against Liverpool, then kind of opened the door for Liverpool before scoring a late winner. I think they're going to come charging out of the traps again this weekend. And just looking at Sunderland, they've played 35 games in the league this season, scored 12 first-half goals, which is extraordinary given how solidly mid-table they are. But yeah, I think United should grab control of this one pretty early on.
All right, three more games left to go, and it's to Sunday 2 o'clock kickoff at Selhurst Park next. Palace against Everton. The home side here is 17-10 to claim the victory. It's 13-8 Everton and 23-10 the draw. We're speaking, of course, before Palace's second leg of their Europa Conference League semi-final. But as far as Everton are concerned, Milts, I suppose, and it's been mentioned, I think, by David Moyes more than once this season, it's consistency. That's what they need to be able to challenge for Europe on a regular basis. And having performed so well against City, they now have to back it up on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. But I think also you do need to be realistic about your expectations. You know, we've mentioned in the show already kind of Brentford and Sunderland exceeding expectations. And, you know, I feel Everton, if they finish in the top half this season, first season in the new stadium, I think that's a pretty decent effort. You know, the last summer they did a lot of transfer business late on, which, you know, never makes it easy for a manager. But yeah, they've really kind of grown as a squad, and strikers scoring goals after very slow starts. So I think, yeah, where Everton are now is a pretty positive outcome, given, you know, where it could be. And, you know, you look at teams like Tottenham and West Ham and Forest who had been in the relegation scrap. You know, I think Everton and David Moyes deserve a lot of credit. And as you can probably tell, I'm quite sweet on them this weekend as well. It's a great time to play Palace, whatever the result against Shakhtar. You know, Palace hot favourites to get through to the Conference League final after winning 3-1 in the first leg. But, you know, after that they were outclassed by Bournemouth, weren't they, last weekend, lost 3-0. And I think, you know, like we saw with United and Tottenham when they got to the Europa League final, I think the league form does just kind of peter out, doesn't it? And Everton, you know, I think they've been really, really consistently competitive. You know, you look at their recent defeats, they've all been pretty tight. You know, even that the 2-0 at Arsenal, they were 0-0 until the 89th minute. And as we saw again on Monday against Manchester City, you know, they can mix it with the best teams in the division. And I think Palace, a distracted Palace side, are far from one of the best teams in the division.
If they are going to be distracted, Dan, it's a bit of a concern for those teams going for Europe and those battling for the title as well, because they've got, after the game with Everton, Manchester City away, Brentford away and Arsenal at home in their remaining three Premier League games. So Palace are going to have a big say one way or another.
Yeah, and I don't see him getting many points in that game, in those games. And I totally agree with what James said. The results are not consistent, but that's because they're a team of probably mid-table ability. You're going to win some and lose some, but they are consistently competitive. Their levels are very much... Everton's levels don't tend to vary game to game. They perform at a certain level. Sometimes it's good enough, sometimes it's not. This weekend, I agree, I think it'll be good enough because Crystal Palace are... distracted. Sure, they should get through this tie, but they'll certainly be playing their strongest team from the start, and that means they won't be playing their strongest team at the weekend. You know, Palace have lost their last two league games by 6-1 aggregate. Everton pushing still to try and get into Europe. I think a great chance for them to get the win.
There'll be claret and blue all over at Turf Moor on Sunday at 2 p.m. It is Burnley Aston Villa. The claret's 4-1 here to claim the victory, having of course already been relegated back down to the Championship. Villa 3-5 and a draw 100-30. And again, obviously, we're recording this prior to Villa playing in the Europa League on Thursday. Will that have any impact for you, Dan, do you think, in terms of Sunday's game?
Not as much as last week, because I just think that he kind of took a chance there, didn't he, and thought if I make a few changes and, you know, maybe we can still get the result against Spurs. I think there's less of a window now. To you can't really mess around too much now in terms of getting into that Champions League, to nailing down a top five finish. A 6-point gap they've got, but they've still got to play Liverpool and Manchester City, so they're going to be banking on winning this game. I think I don't think it'll be like the team that he put out against Spurs. I think it will be a lot more of the first choice players involved. We'll ask a lot more of them to go again, whatever happens in the Forest game. And Burnley are just the ideal team to face at the moment, not being competitive in a lot of their games. I think the atmosphere now, which was usually a big thing in their favour when they're in the Premier League, the fans just seem, I'm not blaming them, it's understandable, but they just seem disinterested. You're only watching on the TV, but watch their game against Manchester City. There just didn't seem to be, you know, much coming from the stands there. And that makes it easier for the away team to go and play. And I can see Villa winning this game quite comfortably. I know they're quite short odds. I'm going to go with, they're around evens with a one-goal Asian handicap deficit. That means if they win by more than one, you get you win the bet. If they win by a single goal, you get your stakes return.
Five defeats in a row for Burnley Milts. And amongst that, as I say, it's sealing their fate in terms of relegation. Are we looking at another defeat here?
Yeah, I think so. My bet in this game is over 2.5 goals, just kind of factoring in, you know, will there be a hangover for Villa after the Europa League second leg? Yeah, Villa are a bit of a streaky team, lost three in a row before the second leg against Forest. Before that, they'd won 5 out of 6 and scored 16 goals in those six games. So, you know, they've clearly got the superior attacking quality to Burnley. I think, you know, as Dan said, Villa's remaining fixtures are far from easy. So that, yeah, they can't really afford a slip up here. So I think they should go all out for maximum points. Just looking at Burnley's recent results, you know, 1 point from their last 8 games, lost 3-1 to Fulham and Leeds, 4-1 to Forest, and 4-3 at home to Brentford. So yeah, I think there should be plenty of goals, and unfortunately for Burnley fans, most of them in the Burnley net.
Well, the final game for us to focus on in the Premier League this week is the game at the Amex Stadium on Saturday afternoon, a 3 o'clock start for Brighton Wolves, and the home team, of course, battling still for a place in Europe next season. A 2-7 to claim the win here. Wolves as big as 8-1 and the draw 5-1. We've sort of mentioned him a couple of times recently in terms of Fabian Hertzler and the job that he's done, Milts. And at the moment, you know, they're going into this weekend just currently 2 points outside the top six after a real fantastic run, really, in the second half of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And with you know, at least on paper, a far easier fixture than Bournemouth and Brentford, who are the teams immediately above them. You know, I think instinctively you see Brighton as shortest price favourites on the Premier League coupon. You just... your mind goes back to all the times when they've flopped in these kind of fixtures. But, you know, they've shown a lot more ruthlessness in recent weeks. They've been defending much, much better. And, yeah, they should make no mistake against Wolves, who, you know, show plenty of fight and character over the winter. But, you know, recent weeks they've been poor. They've scored one goal in their last four games, and that came against 10-man Sunderland last weekend. So I'm going for Brighton to win 2-0 in this one. You know, the excellent home victory against Chelsea when they won 3-0 and Bart Verbruggen didn't have a save to make. So I think if they can keep Chelsea that quiet, then I think Wolves are really going to struggle to create anything.
Yeah, Wolves at home, Leeds away, Manchester United at home still for Brighton. Top six, still realistic possibility, Dan.
Yeah, and probably top five would have been if they'd have won at Newcastle. So that would be a big, you know, blow, you know, to them losing that game because they were in great form going into it. I just think sometimes I look at prices and Brighton probably, you know, certainly should win this game. But 2-7, you know, they're not, you know, they often do drop points against lesser teams. Wolves have been more competitive in the second half of the season. And I just don't think Brighton should be quite that short. So they, you know, looked a bit looser at the back in some of their recent games, not against Chelsea, as was mentioned. I mean, Chelsea just didn't turn up that night, did they? The last game under Rosinho. Against Spurs, though, it's a 2-2. They gave out a lot of other chances as well. Shipped 3 goals at Newcastle. I know Wolves are the lowest scorers in the league, but, you know, they can kind of play with a bit of freedom at the moment. Adam Armstrong, since he's gone in there, he's not done great. He's only got one goal in 11 starts, but he is a kind of a natural finisher, and he's starting every game. They're obviously trying to get him going, you know, before, you know, using him in the Championship next season. And I looked at his price to score any time against the Brighton team that's conceded a few recently. He's 4-1 to score any time. I just think that's a bit overpriced. Going to go Adam Armstrong to score any time.
OK, that's the Premier League covered then for another week. Up next for us, it's the FPL update, and then we'll look ahead to the EFL playoffs. Well, it's Fantasy Premier League time now again, and Tom Hill joins us to give us his tips on who to select for your FPL team in what is now Game Week 36.
It's the final double game week of the season in Week 36 with Crystal Palace and Manchester City playing twice. Any managers with chips left will be doing all they can to utilise them to gain rank. So here are our best three outfield players for the week ahead. Despite their double game week, it is tough to pick Crystal Palace players due to their European exploits. They could easily be rested, and it makes sense to play it smart and stick with Manchester City's Nico O'Reilly at £5.2 million. He is preferred to Mark Guay this week due to his 5 goals and 4 assists, and is once again one of the most attacking outlets against Everton on Monday. City have the best chance of keeping at least one clean sheet, and O'Reilly's upside is difficult to ignore. The best midfield option for the double game week looks to be Ryan Cherki, who has really found his feet in this new formation in the last few weeks. He will cost £6.5 million. He is a better and cheaper alternative by the looks of things to Antoine Semenyo, who could really exploit the weaknesses centrally of Brentford and Crystal Palace. Cherki is owned by a minority, and while the ownership is on the rise, he could help managers gain rank on their rivals in such a pivotal week. Now up front, everyone practically has Erling Haaland, and he is certainly the best captaincy option. To avoid stating the obvious in this double game week, we've picked out an alternative, and that option up top is Brighton's Danny Welbeck. The Seagulls' ace could capitalise on a home clash with Wolves this week. He now costs £6.3 million, but faces a team that have conceded the most shots from central areas. They're also very weak from set pieces. He scored more than 5 points in three of his last five appearances, scoring three goals and grabbing one assist during that time.
Big thanks to Tom then for his input again this week. Dan's turn now to talk about all things EFL. And once again, the playoffs are here. Bring massive entertainment, of course, over the next couple of weeks. And in terms of the start dates, well, the Championship begins on Friday with the two semi-final first legs, Hull against Millwall, Middlesbrough against Southampton, then later in the weekend. League One starts on Saturday, Stevenage against Stockport and Bolton versus Bradford. And in League Two, which starts on Sunday, Grimsby face Salford and Chesterfield are up against Notts County. Let's start off with the Championship, Dan, and looking at the four teams that remain, firstly, in the battle for that place in the Premier League. You would probably say Southampton and Millwall are the two sort of form teams going into the semi-finals.
Yeah, and I mean, look, a lot of people say when it comes to the playoffs, you get this word used, it's a playoff, it's a lottery, the playoff lottery. And you know, I get it, as you've got knockout scenarios, anything can happen. But for me, I think you can get a bit too complicated here. And Southampton, I thought they'd be a bit short priced than they are, about 2-1 to go. I would have them more in the sort of 6-4 range. I mean, given the run they've been on, unbeaten in 19 matches, you know, the way they've performed in the FA Cup as well against Arsenal and against City, big squad, you know, that'll help them in the, you know, the semi-finals. They take place, you know, fairly close to each other, the first and the second leg. So the big squad helps. You've got the, you know, match-winning players like of Azaz, Cienza, Stewart and Larin, who can, you know, they can take their turns playing up front. And I think they'll be the team to beat. I think Middlesbrough, you know, they're going into that gut tie with Southampton. They're out of form, aren't they? Two wins in the last 10 games. A lot of that's been down to Hayden Hackney being injured. He's missed the last eight games. So he looks like he could be getting near in fitness and could play some part in the playoffs. But how fit is he going to be? Confidence has probably been knocked from the, you know, kind of the run they've been on during the running. So I don't really fancy them. Whittaker's obviously a danger. He's in great form, you know, especially with his long shooting. But I see Southampton getting through that. And if they get to Wembley, I think their football on that pitch, they're used to playing there now, having played against City. I think that could be a big bonus for them. That Millwall were always tough to beat. I would fancy them to come through that semi-final against Hull. I would fancy them even more if Josh Coburn was fully fit. He's been injured the last couple of games. Big player for them. Very underrated centre-forward. But they've got Aziz, you know, a winger who Ipswich tried to sign in January. He's been on fire as well. So I think they'll Hull are well organised, so are Millwall, but I think Millwall got a little bit more quality. Hull have gone off the boil towards the end of the season. They had that great win against Norwich when they were under pressure to get their top six spot, but before then, six games without a win. They've got experience, Hull, with McBurney, you know, banging in the goals, but I fancy Millwall and Southampton to get to the final, Millwall to go up.
Okay, Millwall for Dan to go up. He says Southampton, 82 goals, second...
Sorry, did I say Millwall to go up?
You did.
Southampton to go up. Millwall and Southampton in the final. Southampton to go up.
Southampton to go up then for Dan. 82 goals, as I say, in their 46 league games this season. Second only to Coventry in terms of goals scored in the Championship. Let's move into League One then, where I think it's probably a bit tougher to call, Dan, in terms of, especially if you look at the form in recent weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the points tallies as well. There's only 2 points covering the four teams. However, I'm going to go for the favourite here as well. Bolton are 15-8, and I do think they've got a bit more quality than the other teams, especially going forward. A couple of their loan signings, Mario Kojadubri from Brighton, has been absolutely outstanding for them, recently back from injury, and he's a big player for them, the winger. Johnny Kenny, they've got on loan from Celtic. He's been superb towards the end of the season, 5 goals in his last 6 appearances, and having that kind of, those two are above the level, and that's going to make the difference, I think, in big games like this. They're playing against Bradford, who have in the semi have done great to to get there, having won promotion last season, been grinding out a lot of results, very strong at Valley Parade in their home games, less good away from home, 10 away defeats. And I think they'll probably struggle in the first leg at Bolton and maybe not quite manage to recover. I think in the other semi, very even, wouldn't like to really call it out of Stevenage and Stockport. Stockport's issues are at centre-back. They've got three centre-backs injured, only one recognised centre-back available, Ethan Pye. The top scorer, Kyle Wootton, has had to play centre-back the last eight games for them, including the EFL Trophy, and they've only kept one clean sheet in those eight, so that is a bit of a worry when you're playing Stevenage, who just keep clean sheets for fun, especially at home. You know, the Kings are like the 1-0 win, aren't they, at home? Stevenage, five of the last six home games, they've won 1-0. You can kind of see them maybe getting another low-scoring home win and maybe hanging on at Stockport. I think they won at Stockport in the league earlier in the season as well. So they've got a good head-to-head record against them. Wouldn't like to call that one, but whoever gets to the final at Stevenage and Stockport, I would take Bolton to win it.
Okay. And last but not least, in League Two, Grimsby against Salford, as we say, and Chesterfield against Notts County in the semi-finals. I suppose going into this, Grimsby have been on a heck of a run, Dan, and have just sort of sneaked into the playoff places. And sometimes you see that team that have gone with that sort of run towards the end of the season go all the way.
Yeah, and that's who I'm going to go for Grimsby. I'm going for the outsider this time of the four. And yeah, they only got into the top seven, so kind of sneaked in towards the end of the season. But their run of form has been consistent over a long period of time. They were kind of possibly distracted and physically and emotionally. It took a lot out of them with those cup runs they had earlier in the season. And they went on they did go not long after around about the time they got knocked out by Brentford in the EFL Cup 5-0. They went nine games without a win in the league. I mean, to recover from that, and they went down to a sort of lower mid part of the table, to recover from that and get in the playoffs took a hell of an effort. They've only had four losses in the last 25 league games. So they've been very good for a long period of time. And I think they'll have a little bit too much for Salford, who have been more up and down with their form. Missed an unbelievable opportunity as well, which would be highly frustrating when they drew 0-0 away to Crawley. If they'd have won that game, they'd have gone up automatic. That's going to be on their minds. I think Grimsby will come through that tie. And the other tie, I think it'll be tight. Chesterfield and Notts County, both kind of attack-minded teams. Chesterfield in better form, unbeaten in eight. Notts County they've lost four of their last eight, but they've had some big players. Scott Robertson, Alassana Yatta, Rod McDonald, three key players have recently come back from injury. So that's going to boost them going into the playoffs and give them a better chance. I would struggle to call that. But again, whoever gets to the final, I would take Grimsby, given the run they've been on, to do the job. Grimsby to go up.
Okay, so just a reminder of Dan's playoff picks: Southampton in the Championship, Bolton in League One, and Grimsby in League Two. You can guarantee we're going to have some entertainment in the next couple of weeks across the playoffs in all three divisions. It's James's turn now with a Premier League bet builder for the weekend, and he's got some big shoes to fill because Mark had a 3-1 winning selection last week. And Milts, which game are we looking at here?
Yeah, we're going to go for the West Ham Arsenal game. Warren, obviously a tense occasion for both clubs at opposite ends of the table. I think it could be a bit of a slow burner, so I'm going to go for under 1.5 first half goals in this one. It's been a winning bet in eight of West Ham's last 10 league matches. And you think maybe Arsenal may take a while to get into their stride after their midweek exertions against Atletico Madrid. The second leg is Jared Bowen to have one or more shots on target. Been in really good form recently, laying on goals for his teammates. Eight assists in his last 10 league starts. But I think we could see a bit more selfishness from Bowen this weekend. Got a really good record against Arsenal. Scored in five of his last 11 appearances against the Gunners. And I think he could test David Raya at least once. And the final leg is West Ham left-back El Hadj Diouf to commit one or more fouls. Whoever plays down the right wing for Arsenal is going to cause him problems. You know, could be Bukayo Saka, could be Noni Madueke, even Max Dalman, fantastic dribbler as well. And Diouf averages exactly one foul per 90 minutes in the league this season. I think he may struggle to stay out of trouble with the referee.
Okay, that is James's bet builder then for West Ham against Arsenal this weekend. Time to move on to the assist treble, a selection from each of us. And Dan, we'll go with your pick first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bolton to win that first leg at home to Bradford. Bolton's home form has been pretty strong all season. Only lost two home games, and the second of those was against Luton, when Bolton were already assured of making the playoffs, and Luton needed to win to have a chance of making the playoffs. So it's kind of, you can let them off that one a little bit. They're playing a Bradford side who, as I mentioned earlier, are much weaker away generally than they are at home. They did get a 0-0 draw away to Bolton in the league earlier in the season, but I don't think they're going to get anything like that result this time. Bolton to win.
Okay, and Milt, who's your selection for the assist treble?
Yeah, I'm going for Roma to win away to Parma in Serie A. Roma really boosted their chances of making the Champions League. They've won four of their last six matches to nil, and they've been terrific against the weaker teams in the division this season. Just against the teams below them in the table, they've won 20 out of 27, and Parma really short of goals, particularly at home. I think Roma's defence will set them up for another important victory this weekend.
Okay, and I'm going to go with Grimsby in the League Two playoffs to beat Salford, get around about 23-20 on the Mariners, who, as we said earlier on, took that last playoff spot with just one defeat in the last seven regular season matches. Second top goal scorers in League Two as well, with 74 goals in 46 games compared to 61 for their opponents. And Grimsby have already beaten Salford home and away this season, including a 3-1 win at Blundell Park back in March. So just a reminder, the assist treble this week is Bolton, Roma and Grimsby. And we'll conclude this week's show with the NAP selections from Dan and James. And James, we'll start with your NAP first.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Everton to win at Crystal Palace. You know, Everton obviously disappointing to concede that late equaliser against Manchester City, but another really good performance from David Moyes' men. This looks a great time to be playing Palace after their Conference League semi-final. And just looking at Palace's home record this season, 4 wins in 17 games at Selhurst Park, and I don't think they're going to improve that against a really consistent Everton side.
And Dan, who's your NAP for this week?
I'm going to go Southampton, draw no bet for the first leg of their playoff semi-final away to Middlesbrough. I was surprised to see their odds against on the draw no bet. Only defeat they've had since January was the 2-1 loss to Man City in the FA Cup semi-final when they were outstanding. It's just not a game that I can see them losing. I think Middlesbrough, they play some great football, but they're the sort of team they often kind of find ways not to win, if you know what I mean. And only 2 wins in the last 10 regular season matches, and Southampton, the run they've been on. Draw no bet's probably the way to go, because Southampton probably wouldn't mind a draw and then take it back to St Mary's. But if any team's going to win it, then it'll be Southampton.
Okay, just a reminder then, the naps from James and Dan this week are Everton and Southampton, draw no bet. And that wraps up this week's Assist Show. Big thanks to both Dan and James for their input. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The Assist will be back at the same time next Thursday, of course, the penultimate weekend of the Premier League season. And if you like your golf, don't forget to tune in for the Sweet Spot every Tuesday. And next week, Steve Palmer will bring you his tips for the second major of the year, the US PGA Championship. In the meantime, enjoy the football action across the weekend. And as ever, please remember to gamble responsibly.